You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to another live broadcast of our award-winning talk radio program. You're in the Political Cesspool with James Edwards this Saturday evening, September 19th, and we're going to jump right into the fire this evening with our featured guest of the night, the one and only Peter Brimelow, who is, of course, the founding editor of VDare.com and author of the runaway best-selling book, Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster. Mr. Brimelow has also previously served as editor of Forbes and National Review. And I may add, he sends the greatest Christmas card known to man. Peter, welcome back to the show. It's been entirely too long since we last had you.
Thanks for having me on, James.
Our pleasure. Well, let's get right to it then. Alien Nation. So this book comes out quite a few years ago now. How has the immigration landscape changed since you wrote the book?
Well, basically it hasn't changed at all, you know. And I'm a great admirer of Ann Coulter's new book, Adios America. And she's definitely advanced the argument in several ways. But her conclusions and her recommendations are exactly the same as mine, you know, immigration moratorium, abolish birthright citizenship. I mean, there were various points in the last 20 years when it actually looked like it was going to happen, particularly when the Smith-Simpson bill was up in the middle 90s. But the no good Nicks just got in there and did a lot of lying and a lot of lobbying, and they were able to stall. And they basically kept what we call at VDare.com immigration patriots on the defensive for 20 years.
Well, this issue of immigration is
one attempt after another to push amnesty and the unmentionable but concomitant immigration surge through.
They never sleep.
We stopped them all miraculously. But we've not been on the offensive since the Smith-Simpson bill went down in 96.
Well, you're certainly right, and this is, of course, your signature issue. Your bailiwick is immigration. It's what VDare is designed
well, that's the way
to.
It turned out, James, it wasn't what I thought, but I expected. But I was 40 years in financial journalism, writing a lot of entirely technical financial stuff on various interesting issues like the gold standard and so on. But it's immigration that apparently I'm got the most attention for.
Well, I think that would be an understatement, despite, of course, as you mentioned, coming from a financial background. So I guess it's an odd coupling there in some regards. But you are certainly known now politically as being the go-to guy for, my goodness, I mean, we get tripped up on what to describe ourselves as. Let's just use Buchanan's term for now, for argument's sake, paleoconservatives. And so you're the guy. And for years, certainly ever since you wrote the book, with perhaps the exception of Pat in 96 and I guess 92 and 2000 to lesser extents, we've had no voice in the mainstream on immigration on a political level in terms of a candidate who was somewhat serious until, of course, this summer. And Donald Trump just burst onto the scene. Peter, what do you make of him?
I just think... I gave a speech about 2 years ago in which I said, people, things look very bad, but miracles actually happen quite often in politics. I mean, nobody expected the Soviet Union to collapse. They happen both ways. I mean, nobody expected the Afrikaners to give up South Africa. So I was confident expecting a miracle to happen, and it has done. I mean, we ran an article in April, as late as April, on VDare.com from one of our writers, Matthew Riker, who predicted that Trump would run and he would pick up the immigration issue. And I have to say, I ran it, but I didn't think I'm surprised. I'm surprised, James. But on the other hand, you know, Trump's a real operator, and he's got a very good sense of issues, and he can see there's a huge vacuum here. You know, what's particularly amazing about Trump was for a while it looked like he was playing the usual illegal immigration bad, legal immigration good game, which Ted Cruz, for example, is still playing. But then it turns out he wasn't. He put out this statement, which is wonderful. I mean, he called for moratorium and then the end to birthright citizenship and immigration in the interest of the American worker. And that's a tremendous move forward.
Well, and it was also very shrewd. I mean, let's hope he's a true believer in this. I mean, no one can say for sure. Nobody can judge the heart of any man. But let's hope that he is sincere in what he's saying about immigration. And if he is, he's certainly not too distant from where I guess you and I would stand on the immigration issue. But it's an issue that, while not currying him any favor within the establishment duopoly, it is an issue that certainly resonates with not only the base of the Republican Party, but Middle America in general, which I guess in to some extent would be one and the same.
It does indeed. And you know, they very rarely take direct polls on things like, would you be in favor of deportation? But because they don't want to hear the answer. But just recently, somebody did take a poll on would you be in favor of rounding up and deporting all illegal aliens? And it was overwhelmingly popular, but not just overwhelmingly popular in our group, but with all races and all income groups.
Yes.
So they're not going to take that poll again anytime soon because they don't want to hear that answer. But it's been obvious to anybody who follows the issue that this is the case.
Not popular with the media, but certainly popular with the voters. And the voters have certainly not had a champion in a long, long time.
Right.
Having said that,
James, you know, this was already shaping up to be a fairly good year because both Santorum and Scott Walker had said things about reducing legal immigration in the interest of American workers, which never happened, which didn't happen in the previous election cycle. So there were some signs of change. But the thing here is that Trump has really sort of put the boot in on it. He's prepared to make light, to fight over it. He's actually said very little. If you hear him talking about his incendiary rhetoric and so on. But if you read what he said, it's not like incendiary, it's just that he's saying it at all.
Well, you know, the thing is, some of these other candidates, as we always see in primary election cycles, they will run to the right in the primary and they completely forget that once they start doing well or win the nomination. And of course, and if they're elected, which Republicans may have a hard time doing if they don't nominate Trump, you know, they're never going to get serious about it once they're in the White House, as we've seen time and time again. I mean, how many times, you know, it took the Republican base decades of being betrayed before they decided to back an outsider. If, in fact, that support for Trump continues. But I say this, Peter, every week. I'd be interested to know if you agree with this. I say it every week, probably to the point of exhaustion with my audience. But I truly believe that the issues that animate and bring this radio program to life, the issues that you've made your life's work, I still believe, and I hope I'm not being naive here, that the average American, the working class, again, let's get into labels, but I believe that this is something that fundamentally they are in agreement with us on. And certainly the media would never say that anybody would agree with us on anything the way they describe us. But I think that, you know, the red meat and the charismatic way in which Donald Trump is delivering his views on immigration very explicitly, I mean, they're really just flocking to that. And it's hugely encouraging when you take into account how many years that the people have been browbeaten by the media not to think this way. What's your response to that?
Right. I mean, I spoke for Jared Taylor in his conference in the spring about how the situation, which, and it was obvious then that the Republican leadership, which was elected, very largely as a result of a backlash against the collapse of the borders last summer, was going to do nothing whatever about Obama's administrative amnesty. It was going to capitulate on everything. So the situation was very, very bad. But I said then, based on my incredibly long years of watching these problems, it would take is one speech. So you can see there's certain issues that
Peter,
you can see.
One second. I hate to interrupt you. I hate to do it. We got to take our first break. Don't worry, folks. We got in for two more segments. We're just getting started. More Peter Brimelow right after this.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're back with the incomparable Peter Brimelow, who, quite frankly, has done more than anybody else in this country to bring Americans to sensible thinking with regards to the issue of immigration. And so we're talking to him about Trump, immigration, the entire GOP primary process, and more, and we're going to get right back to it now. Of course, as you mentioned, Peter, he comes out, makes immigration a signature issue, which I think is very smart because it's an issue that, first of all, needs attention. If there's one issue we've got to correct, it's immigration first and foremost. The second issue, whatever that may be, wouldn't even be close, and the people recognize that. So he's come out here. He stormed out of the gates. He issued a position paper, if you will, on the Second Amendment, which I think was equally good, but he's known, of course, for immigration. You read his policy. How close is it to what Peter Brimelow himself would have written, or rather, should I ask, in which ways might you have improved it?
Actually, surprisingly close. I have an article on the site discussing, thinking about what I would suggest, I would have improved it. I mean, I like more direct statements about the need to reduce legal immigration. I'd have liked a more direct statement about the need to simply abolish the refugee statute. We did Americans, but this refugee statute that was passed, you know, in 1981 and provides an expedited, subsidized immigration program for favored groups. It just needs to be abolished. The Americans shouldn't be taking the refugees at all. I said in there that, well, I'd like to see something about official English, about a language issue. Well, next thing I know, Trump is criticizing Bush for campaigning in Spanish. And of course, met with the usual hysteria and everything. So it's quite surprising how far he is moving in these ways.
Well, you ran, and I'm going to ask you in just a moment how sustainable you think his candidacy may be, but you had a very provocative, very good conversation with Jared Taylor for a podcast on the American Renaissance website, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago now,
yeah.
And you said something interesting in that interview that I'd like to have you repeat to my audience this evening. So many people think that perhaps the time has already come and gone that we would find a candidate that would champion our issues, somebody that we could rally behind. You say, though, not only is Trump not necessarily our last chance, but that you've run the numbers and that a candidate of his ilk.
Yeah.
Could
I mean, the critical point for I mean, I don't care about the Republican Party. It's obviously terminally corrupt. But if you take it, I use the term GAP instead of GOP, a generic American party, which is what the Republican Party actually is. It's a default mode of patriotic party in America. It doesn't end to deserve it, but it's there because the other party is less patriotic. Well, if you look at the GAP party, it could win, even if there was no immigration cutoff. It could continue to win national elections in the U.S. for a long time to come, right to the middle of this century, as long as it gets its increases its white share. I mean, the great point about the Republican Party is that, you know, it doesn't get a particularly good white share. It's only somewhere in the 55 to 60%. It got 60%, I believe, in 2014 and 2010, but Romney didn't get 60%. And, of course, white turnout is down. The two issues are white share and white turnout. And the white turnout fell in the last two presidential elections, not surprisingly, given the candidates that the Republicans actually put up. So the Republicans' job is to basically turn the entire U.S. into the South, where the Republicans do get very high white shares and relatively high white turnout, again, without deserving it. They just get it because the alternative is so obvious, and so those instinctively know that. The great tier of states right across the northern part of the country, greater New England, from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon. You know, that's where the Republicans should be building their white support. You know, it's ludicrous that the Republicans actually lost narrowly the white vote in Iowa. You know, they haven't carried the white vote in California. I think Romney just carried it, but the previous presidential candidate and Carly Fiorina didn't carry the white vote in California. You know, that's what really needs to be done. As long as they can continue to get a bit better grip on the white vote, they can win for a long time. But, of course, that means they actually have to do something. They've been very, very reluctant to do that.
Yeah, there's the rub, right, Peter? I mean, they would actually have to do something. They'd actually have to seek out the white vote rather than taking it for granted and treating their white voters
like
trash.
The flag thing, of course, is really, when you look at that Confederate flag fiasco and you see Romney's leading the charge against the battle flag.
Yes, yes.
They've succeeded. The left has succeeded in head faking the Republicans into dumping on their backbone of the core of their support, namely white Southerners. They're just insulting white Southerners. I mean, it's amazing how they persuade the Republicans to declare war on their own base. It's just unbelievable.
Not only that, Peter, I think they truly do hate their base, yet they rely on them, and it would have been so easy for Romney to have won if he did anything, and I mean anything, and even Dick Morris said the reason he lost is because the whites didn't show up to vote for him.
Right, of course, yeah.
But, you know, and so now you have Trump, who is in some ways explicit.
James, you know, I was thinking about your question about the past 20 years. I think one thing that has become obvious, to go back to my stock market days, you know, this is a market that's not clearing. In other words, it's obvious that Republicans or a generic American party needs to move on this issue. And when it does move on, it does well. But it refuses to move on it, and even if it hints at it, it then turns around and betrays the base on this question. And I think what's become more obvious over the last 20 years is the extraordinary influence of the big donors. I mean, the professional politicians are far more interested in donors than they are in votes. I saw an amazing number the other day, you know. Governor Perry, of course, has dropped out of the race now. But he's raised $17 million, which is still in his pack. Now, what's going to happen to that pack? Who's running it? A lot of that money is going to finish up in the hands of the consultants, and it's money that came from the influence of the donors and the consultants, and that's become very clear that they're really bad actors in the system.
Well, they are, and it would take a guy like Trump to obviously circumvent, and he's right. And that's another reason why I think he's got such appeal is that, you know, he calls these clowns what they are. I mean, they're owned, they're bought, and paid for, and there's just no doubt about that. And now... You know, he's got all of this lavish media attention, saturation coverage, but it's all been bad, of course, with regard to the media coverage. None of them have really said anything good about him. And then the Republican Party itself is just absolutely shaking in their boots with the thought that he just might pull this thing off. I think we're going to see a lot more dirty tricks from the Republican Party to derail him. Of course, now all of the candidates are attacking him even more ferociously. And, of course, the thing after the second debate now is that Trump fatigue has set in and the decline is imminent. What do you make of that, Peter? Do you think that this is something that, you know, he could carry this momentum into February? It's still a long road before the New Hampshire and Iowa caucuses. But do you think that he could actually win?
I guess the short answer is yes, I do. I mean, who knows in this wild system, you know, this crazy system, anything can happen. His demise has been predicted so many times now that it's surprising to me that they're even trying to predict it again. One of the reasons things this has shown, of course, is that, you know, the mainstream media and the political elite, they really don't understand the country. For example, they're all convinced that because he was mild, the critical of John McCain, or appeared to be critical of John McCain, that was the end. But of course, the base doesn't care about John McCain. So it's obvious that wasn't going to do it. And similarly with this issue of over whether Obama's a Muslim or not. Vast amounts of Americans do think that Obama is a Muslim, and they've got reason to think that. You know, he's given his background and his extraordinarily odd behaviors and his attitudes towards it, extraordinary, you know, towards Islam. I think they systematically misjudge what's actually going on, because they're living in a bubble, these media types. So I think he could do it. I mean, on the other hand, you know, it's grueling what he's doing, grueling. And he's 69 years old. Hell, he's even older than I am. He's, you know, but I'm told that, you know, he's in good shape.
Well, he appears to be, certainly, and you're right, though. I mean, just imagine the pressure that you're under. You're a front runner leading by 20 points. The entire media in this country.
Enjoying himself.
He's enjoying himself, certainly. But it still has to take a toll somewhere down the line, physically, if not mentally. We are going to take a break. We're going to be back with Peter Brimelow for one more segment. Stay tuned for that.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party, .us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, it would be impossible for me to impress upon you the extent to which Peter Brimelow truly is a national treasure. I hope that you respect, you want to talk about doing the job most Americans won't do. Peter Brimelow's that guy, and he deserves your support. He has earned it. He has put himself on the line time and time again for many, many, many years. VDare.com, ladies and gentlemen. Write it down. Make it one of your daily reads. VDare.com. Support the work of Peter Brimelow. And if you're not familiar with this guest, it would almost be impossible for that to be the case. But should you be tuning in for the first time, look up this guy's biography. I mean, he is a very impressive guest, to be sure, and we're very grateful to have him tonight. Peter, you know, one thing I'm sure you've been questioned about a lot, or one thing that's been batted around and certainly misconstrued by the media, which, along with everything else, it has been misconstrued by them. They say it's impossible. It would be utterly impossible. It's a fantasy to suggest that should Donald Trump win, that he would ever be able to send home the illegal aliens. It would be, you know, that's just, it would never happen. Your answer to that?
Well, you know, what about Eisenhower? He did it. I mean, there was a very similar illegal immigration crisis in the 1950s, and Eisenhower had ended it in less than 6 months with what they then called unflinchingly Operation Wetback. And they sent well over 1 million people home. Now, they didn't actually deport more than 100,000 or so. But the other got the message, and that's what would happen. Because the point about illegal immigrants is they came here and they can go. They can turn around and go back. Like we didn't have miles and miles of buses bringing them in, and we don't need miles and miles of buses to take them out. We just cut off the work and cut off the benefits, and that includes, by the way, education. I think that one of the most disastrous decisions, the Supreme Court decisions in the last half century, and that's a very hot competition, by the way, is the Plyler versus Doe decision, which forced Texas to educate illegal aliens' children. Quite clear that, and that could easily be overthrown by statute, and it should be.
Well, I will tell you this.
The Catholic Church educate them. They say they're a charitable organization. Let them get on with it.
Oh, you know, we're going to talk about this later on in the program tonight. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be providing comprehensive opinion and analysis. Keith Alexander, my co-host, and I will be doing so in the second hour about what's going on with the debates. But you brought up the Catholic Church, and here I am as a Southern Baptist, and the churches are just so – I don't want to chase a rabbit here, but they're just so disgusting what they're doing on this issue. You had the head of the Southern Baptist Convention say any Christian who supports Trump should repudiate his beliefs, and it's just so sickening. It just makes me – physically upset that the craven cowards that somehow ascend to leadership positions, not just in the other institutions of power, but now the church has just become, oh God, so despicable.
Well, every single church, but the role of the Catholic Church is extremely unfortunate. And we published articles for years back. There are a lot of extremely angry Catholics out there about this.
Oh, sure.
I've published articles for many of them for a long time.
Well, right. I mean, this guy doesn't, you know, Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention certainly doesn't speak for me, and I've gone to a Southern Baptist church my whole life. But, I mean,
right.
It's just, that's
Alan,
a teaser.
Alan Wall, who writes for us, has written a lot about this. And it's quite obvious that the treason lobby just decided that they were going to buy themselves some Southern Baptists. And they set up a whole series of front groups, and they reached out to various corruptible Southern Baptists, and they got them, you know, they bought them. They bought a Southern Baptist leadership. But if you actually look at the polls of what Southern Baptists think, or Catholics either for that matter,
yes,
you find that they just don't agree with them.
Well, this is the thing. So here you have, and again, I don't want to, we only have a couple of minutes left, and there's two questions I have to get to you, and this wasn't one of them. But you have the head of the Southern Baptist Convention going to that bastion of pro-Christian thought, the New York Times, and writing an op-ed bashing Donald Trump. These are the same people who are so scared to death of losing their tax exempt status, they completely sideline themselves from political issues with which they should be involved. And right, even, you know, and the reason he wrote it, he was prompted to write it because Trump's leading with the so-called evangelical bloc.
Right.
And he said, you know, how horrifying that was, that, you know, anybody, a Christian, he didn't say it about Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, but right, Donald Trump, because apparently he feels Donald Trump had premarital sex or something like that. But you just got to read it in the New York Times. You can't make this stuff up. This is another question I do want to ask you, Peter. Right now, I'm in play for the Republican Party. For the first time in my life, I became a voting age in 1998, and I voted third party every time. I did Buchanan, Chuck Baldwin, Michael Peruca, and then last year Merlin Miller and Virginia Abbott. I'm in play for the GOP. But should Trump not win, is there even a number two? Is there anybody out there that our folks should be looking at besides Trump, in your opinion?
Well, as I say, both Santorum and Walker have made good news noises about legal immigration. Ted Cruz is very good on illegal immigration. But he's bad on legal immigration. So who knows? You know what that were. These are. But the point is, they're all much better than Romney. The best crop we've had for a long time. I also think I think eventually the party will break up. I don't see how it can continue like this. Maybe Trump will do it if he feels like it, or maybe it'll happen next round. I'm with you, by the way. I've never voted for Republican in a general election.
Well, thank you for offering that. You know, some people safeguard their votes. You know, it's a thing that they don't want out there. But I appreciate your candor, which I should have expected nothing less, of course, from a man like you. But one other thing, I should have asked this a moment ago with regard to the, it would be impossible to get these people to deport or to deport them physically. They say the same thing about the wall. Is it impossible to build a wall to secure the border? Is it impossible to do that?
They've shown it's possible to build a wall. There's experts on building a wall. And their wall is a very long wall. It's a small country, but it's a very complex border. 650 miles, that wall. And the U.S. border was only about 2,000. It's only about three times as big. So bring a few Israelis and have them do it.
You know, that could open a whole other can of worms. We could go into the Ann Coulter thing, but time doesn't permit. I do wish, though, I will say this, I do wish we had Israel's domestic policy with regards to immigration.
Well, you know, they had an illegal immigration crisis, which was equally serious as what the Americans had after the fall of Mubarak, and they simply turned it all around, and they did things which we've been calling for years, like not allowing people to send remittances overseas unless they're legally present. Why don't we demand that people show that they're legally present before they can send remittances back to home countries? That would break the back of the economics of illegal immigration right there.
Well, I mean, I certainly agree. We have had, my goodness, I can't even count, more than a few emails come in for you since the interview started. I'm just going to open one at random here, and hopefully we won't get a question like Donald Trump had to field, although I think that guy was a plant there in New Hampshire a couple of days ago. We're just going to take this one off the top. Have you ever written an article that suggests that illegal immigration may be replacement slavery? Instead of bringing in slaves, we now allow the new slaves to come on their own.
I think
what do you think?
The close parallel between slavery, the slavery, and not just illegal immigration, but legal immigration. I think that the owners of capital have just simply decided to undercut the American working class and to get themselves in a bunch of hellots, you know, of semi slaves. I think they like illegal immigration because they're more docile.
Fair enough answer. I want to give the last minute or two to you. A parting shot, anything that perhaps you wanted to bring forth to the audience tonight that I failed to ask, and certainly make yourself or feel free to plug VDare one more time. But is there anything you'd like to relate to the audience that we haven't yet covered?
Yeah, you know, I said this on VDare a few times, but in 1975, I was in Canada at the time, I went down and interviewed the publisher of National Review, Bill Rusher, about his plan for his attempt to get a third party going. And at the end of this interview, we went off the record, and he said to me, you know, we keep on fighting, but it's all over, and the red flag, this is after the fall of Vietnam, the red flag will wave over the world. It's impossible to exaggerate the pessimism that in among the American conservative movement at that point. But he said, we keep going because you never know what might turn up, and there are also theological injunctions against despair. And I've never forgotten that because, of course, 5 years later, Reagan was elected, and the world had absolutely turned upside down. So I guess my point is don't give up.
Well, you know, if giving up was an option, I guess we would have saved a lot of money and hardship and heartache and done it ourselves quite a long time ago. And I never think that victory is imminent. Defeat is imminent. I always believe that there is a chance that things could turn around, and not just turn around. I think that they could turn around quickly. We've seen it. If you look throughout history, things can change, and yeah, things can look very bleak, and then all of the sudden.
I'm very old, you see. I actually remember changing the mood from the middle after fall of Vietnam to 5 years later after Reagan was elected was simply stunning. And of course, 15 years later, the Soviet Union collapsed, which nobody ever expected. So,
exactly.
We keep on fighting.
Just to point out one example, and a very good one at that. Peter Brimelow, it's such a pleasure and an honor to have you on tonight. I appreciate your work. I appreciate your friendship, and I look forward to the next time already. And, folks, please remember VDare.com. Read it, support it. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, James, and keep the Christmas cards coming yourself.
We sure will. Thank you, my friend. Peter Brimelow, everybody, VDare.com. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Scoop Stanton will be calling in with his nightly report. And in the second hour, Keith Alexander will be joining me in studio for much more commentary on the most recent GOP debate. Stay tuned.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, a tough act to follow, Scoop Stanton has tonight, following a guy like Peter Brimelow. But if anybody can do it, it's certainly Scoop, and he's got another great segment coming your way right now. Scoop, welcome back.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Cesspool family. Well, once again, yours truly is running late for work, so I'm still in my Chevrolet on the highways and byways of the Washington, D.C. area. So if you hear me stop talking, it means I'm planning to break my brakes on my car as much as possible. But let's get started.
You know, if you had a wreck on air, that could be good for ratings. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great for ratings, but it'd be terrible for my insurance premiums.
Yeah, stay safe while you... Yeah, he's working and driving, folks. You know, pay attention. So stay safe, Scoop, and give us your report.
Okay, we first want to remember Kentucky State Trooper Joseph Cameron Ponder, who was shot and killed attempting to perform a traffic stop. The dirtbag in question, Joseph Johnson Shanks, was led Trooper Ponder on a chase, stopped his car suddenly. Trooper Ponder's car rear-ended Shanks' car. Shanks got out and executed Trooper Ponder. Then this dirtbag decided to go in the wooded area near the scene of the crime, and Kentucky State Police emergency response team went, found him. He had a weapon, refused to comply with the orders. He was shot, transported in the hospital, and fortunately he died at the hospital. But our thoughts and prayers are with Kentucky State Police. Also in DeKalb County, which is in the Atlanta area, Officer Mark Vizacarando attempted to stop a car that was involved in suspicious of gun running. He tried to perform a traffic stop. A wild goose chase ensued. He crashed in front of a sign at a gas station. I'm sure all y'all saw in the video by now. And the two subjects got out and shot Officer Vizacarando. Fortunately, the officer survived. Unfortunately, the two guys that were involved in the gunfight, they're arrested and they're still alive. But on a sad note for DeKalb County, Georgia Police Department, Officer Kevin Toby was returning home from work after a shift, and he was struck and killed by a car going the wrong direction. Meanwhile, this week, the Black Lives Matter crowd met at the White House with Senior Advisor Valerie Jarrett. Of course, you didn't see it in the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, because they're not going to put it out there. But it's absolutely true. The Black Lives Gang also met with the Roy Austin, the Senior Director of White House Urban Affairs. It is unknown what the meeting is about, but I'm sure it's not to raise money for the widows and orphans of the cops that have been executed since December of 2014. Now, another person who's going to get a White House invitation is a 14-year-old boy from Texas named Abdullah Muhammad, which is a nice Irish name. This 14-year-old boy, supposedly for a science project, brought a homemade clock to school in a briefcase, which looked very much like a improvised explosive device. And, of course, the teachers saw this, and rightfully so, they contacted the police, and the police saw this device, which looks more like a IED than a clock. And so, anyways, a whole Twitter storm came out, and, of course, President Obama went on Twitter, said, hey, little Abdullah Muhammad, come to the White House, but since the big bad police stopped you for this very suspicious-looking device. Now, what we haven't heard from the mainstream media, of course, is that Mr. Muhammad's father, Muhammad, which I'm not making the name up, Muhammad plural, is a imam. He's also very politically active. So And also, if you go on YouTube, InfoWars and a couple other people who know a thing or two about engineering dissected the kid's so-called science project. And believe me, folks, it looks nothing like a clock. And what he did was took some old technology, soldered it together poorly, and make it look like a clock. So it's a setup from the front, but he's going to get a visit from the White House. But all the widows and orphans whose husbands did not come home, thanks to the Black Lives Matter terrorist group, they get absolutely nothing. Trooper Goforth's wife, she got a call from the Obama administration. And finally, the Stop the Cop Killing shirts are still available, folks. We had to do a design change. It's actually better than what we originally had. I got the prototype shirt. It's a badass-looking shirt. On the front, it says simply, Stop the Cop Killing, Support the Police. On the back, it says hashtag Blue Lives Matter and thepoliticalcesspool.org. Hopefully, James will put the link up. We had to change the design, the trademark issue, but it looks better than what I originally developed. So please, if you want to support law enforcement, support the political cesspool, and make liberals very, very angry, please buy one of these shorts. James?
Well, Scoop, thank you so much for that. In fact, certainly we have to, you know, the staff of the political cesspool is sort of like a militia in that when you're in the group, you're sort of loosely under my command, but you're also free to come and go as you please, since you certainly don't get paid for your contributions to this program. None of us do. But also comes with that the autonomy to kind of do your own things to help the show from time to time. And Scoop is an idea man. And Scoop came up with this idea to do the shirt, and he just ran with it, which is one of the things we love about him. I have not yet put it up on the website. I need to do that. One of the reasons is I didn't want to confuse the audience. You know, we're running this fundraising drive right now. We've only got a few days left in the third quarter fundraising drive, which ends on September 30th, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have not yet contributed to the program this month, we certainly encourage you to do that. We've hit a little lag here the last couple of days, so if you're listening to my voice right now and you want to get a Confederate flag, $100 or more, you get that, but anything helps. You know, I've received more $10 donations in the last week than I ever have in the almost 11 years I've been doing this broadcast. And, you know, this is a nationally syndicated radio show that brings to you the likes of a guy like Peter Brimelow, brings to you people like Pat Buchanan and Kevin McDonald and on and on and on. You know who we bring as regular guests on this broadcast. You know the issues we talk about. Those issues, those guests are made possible by donations of $10, $25, $50, $100. That's a big one, and so on and so forth. But we need your help. Well, we cannot get commercial sponsors for this broadcast because we tell the truth. And so we are reliant upon listener support. So if you have not yet contributed this month, I encourage you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org right now and do so. $100 or more, you're going to get a Confederate flag from us. So the thing with Scoop, what he's doing with the T-shirts, which also benefits the show, that's a separate issue, and I didn't want you to get confused. I know our audience can probably juggle two oranges at once, but nevertheless, we are going to get that up. I'm also glad we didn't get it up prior to now, because you ran into a trademark issue. I didn't know that the American flag was copyrighted, Scoop, but apparently it was. I mean, tell us about that. So you make these shirts. They have an American flag. It says support the cops. Political cesspool on the back, has our website. Was it a friendly, hey, that's a trademark infringement, or was it more hostile?
No. What it is, the group Booster.com, before they print up the shirts, they need 25 orders of shirts, so they're not going to print them. But they wanted to make sure that there's no trademark infringement. Now, if we want to use this particular design for the American flag, it's not the regular wood, white, and blue. It's blue and black with a blue line going through. The nice lady said that we can contact the artist and pay them. And I said, well, we don't have the money for that, so let's try something with the Gadsden flag.
Well, you know, I like the Gadsden flag better. You know, I really hate to associate with the American, with the federal flag, let me say. The federal flag, you know, the American flag in the sense of our founding fathers, yes, absolutely. But the federal flag as it stands now, let's go with the Gadsden flag. But listen, I'm glad you did that scoop. No kidding. And we'll get that up there. And once we get all the information out there, we'll send it out to the email list. We'll put it on the website. Stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. But first, please be sure to donate to the general fundraising drive, which is going on right now and continues until the 30th. We really need your support. So donate tonight, if you will. And but anyway, I digress. The thing about Ahmed the Clockmaker, this kid, was he a Muslim? He was a Muslim, right?
Of course.
Okay, so he's a Muslim, and he goes to this school in Georgia with a clock that looks like a bomb, obviously. And, you know, he just can't understand how he was sent home from school. You know, just last week we had another school shooting in Mississippi. You know, this happens with the increasing frequency. He just can't understand. It was obviously because, you know, he was a Muslim. What are you coming to school with a homemade, quote-unquote, clock for anyway? And I doubt it really was a bomb. It was probably something just to scare people. You know, his dad founded a company named Twin Towers Transportation or something like that I read. Yeah, as some sort of a joke, I guess. You know, ha-ha, you know, the Twin Towers. But he should have been sent home from school. And even if he shouldn't have, what's the big deal? There was no harm done. He gets to go to the White House for getting sent home from school? Yeah, this is crazy. Winston Smith wrote an article about this that we're going to post on Monday about Ahmed the Clockmaker. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and read what Winston writes about this topic. But I'm glad Scoop brought it up. And I'm always glad to have Scoop on. He is an asset to the program, and we're grateful for his service. Thank you, Scoop. And we'll be back with the second hour right after this.